Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be doing my NBA All-Star Weekend wrap-up. Talk about everything that went on, rising stars, dunk contests, three-point contests, skills, and of course the big games. So we'll talk about that. Now, I did want to put a bow on the Unrivaled 101, so we'll talk about that also. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we have finished All-Star Weekend. A lot of mixed reviews, of course. So we'll talk about everything in that regard. So we'll cover it all from pillar to post. You know how I do. But first, I wanted to talk about the Unrivaled one-on-one, which I thought was a success. I enjoyed it thoroughly. So without any further delay, let's get right into it. So you had the Unrivaled League. You know, that's the league started by Breonna Stewart and Nafisha Collier. They had a 30-player tournament, one-on-one tournament, and it went over the span of 3 days. You had Monday, Tuesday, and then the Friday where you had the semifinals and the finals. So it was the first player to 11 points ended up the winner. And it was a time match. So if you didn't get to the 11th, it's whoever was ahead by the time the time expired. So you had that. So, like I said, you know, I watched pretty much all of the matches between the different players. And to me, the most impressive players coming out of this was Azaree Stevens, who made it all the way to the semis, guys. So in the second round, because she actually had a first round bye. So in the second round, she beat Shakira Austin, who I thought she had a chance to kind of make a run, but Azaree put a stop to that. And she won that matchup. And then later in the quarterfinals, she would face Ray Burrell, who she would then beat in that matchup. So Azaree Stevens, I was definitely impressed by what she did in this here tournament. And then the other one is the obvious one, Leah Edwards. I mean, I was absolutely stunned. Coming out the gate, she faced Breonna Stewart, of course, the co-founder of the league, and she blanked her 11-0. She dispatched of her in two and a half minutes. I could not believe it. But Leah Edwards, absolutely amazing. So she beat Stewie by that huge amount. And then she actually had a second round bye. And then she made it to the quarterfinals. She faced Alicia Gray, and she beat her 12-6. And then in the semifinals, she would face Arike Ogunbowale, again, being the underdog. And she took that surprisingly. I couldn't believe how easily she dispatched of Arike, 11-2, thus making it to the finals. But when all is said and done, you had your winner, who ended up being Nafisha Collier. Guys, you know, when this tournament started, I said this is my favorite to win it all. So Queen Fee, she actually played in every round, first, second round, quarterfinals, semifinals, and then finals. Let me tell you the road she took to win it. First round, she played Katie Lou Samuelson and beat her 12-6. Then in the second round, I thought this was going to be a challenge for her, playing Rekia Jackson, but she was able to dismantle her 12-5. Then in the quarterfinals, she faced her teammate on the Lunar Isles and her teammate with the Minnesota Lynx, Courtney Williams, and she was able to make light of her, well, take care of her 12-4. And then in the semifinals, that's when she faced Azaree Stevens. And mind you, both of them were at UConn together at one point because Azaree had transferred to UConn. But she was able to take care of Azaree 11-2, thus setting up a finals between her and Aaliyah Edwards. And it was the best 2 out of 3. And oddly enough, she actually lost the first set of games to Aaliyah Edwards, 6-9. And because it's the first one to 8 points. So she lost the first set of games, and then she would go on to win the last two by a score of 9-4 and then 8-0. So basically, at the end of the day, it came down to conditioning. She was in tip-top condition, guys, to run through this whole gamut here and to come back from a deficit in the finals to win it all. Absolutely impressive. So, Nafisha Collier, she's having an MVP-type season in Unrivaled, and she carried that into this tournament, thus winning the $200,000. So, big ups to Nafisha Collier for sealing the deal. And again, I thought it was an amazing tournament. I enjoyed every bit of it. So there's that. So big ups to the Unrivaled League for doing something unprecedented. And I'll talk about that later as I talk about the All-Star game. So I'll just table that for now. All right, so that is your Unrivaled update. Now let's talk about All-Star Weekend. Again, you had a myriad of detractors, whether it be in the media, whether it be amongst the players. I think there's a more insidious nature to all this, but I'll talk about that later. Again, though, let's start with Friday. Friday, you had the celebrity game. I'm not going to do a full breakdown of that. It was Team Barry Bonds versus Team Jerry Rice. Team Barry Bonds would win 66-55. I caught the highlights of this. Your MVP was actor Rome Flynn. He was your MVP of this game. And amongst your participants, I think I had talked about it, Rekia Jackson actually replaced Alyssa Gray in this tournament, well, in this game, rather. So she replaced her and played well. I thought she played well. Kayla Thornton had a nice little outing there. She had a viral moment when she knocked that influencer guy, Kai Sinat. She knocked him to the ground on a foul. Then she fouled him really good, I got to tell you. But I thought she did fine. Baron Davis, he played in this game as well. Also, Matt Barnes, I believe he played. And then Terrell Owens, who actually he used to play some basketball to the side of, playing in the NFL, of course. But at the end of the day, Team Barry Bonds prevails. And actually, you had some spectacular dunks in this game by track and field star Shelby McEwen. So you had somebody, hey, you could maybe brought him in for the slam dunk contest the next day, but I digress. So that is your celebrity game. Later in the evening on Friday, you had your Rising Stars Challenge. You had, as I said in the preview, you had Team Chris Mullin, Team Tim Hardaway, Team Mitch Richmond, of course, the 3-4 TMs for Run TMC. And then you had your G Leaguers represented by Jeremy Lin. So the first game, Team Chris would take it 40-34. And in that game, they were led by Keontae George of the Utah Jazz. He had 10 points, guys. And then on the losing side for Tim's team, Grady Dick led the way with 12 points. Moving on to the second game, Team G League, they scored an upset, guys, 40-39 over Team Mitch. And in that game, Leonard Miller would lead them in scoring with 14 points, followed by Bryce McGowan's, who actually hit the game-winning three-point shot because they were down 39-37. And he hit the three-point shot. They win it. So, and actually, Amen Thompson, he led Team Mitch in scoring with 10 points. So, and then you had the final game, and Team Chris, they prevailed, guys, 25-14 over Team G League. And in that game, Stephon Castle of the San Antonio Spurs, he scores 12 points and ends up being the MVP of that tournament there. And on the losing side, Dink Pot and Leonard Miller with 5 points apiece in that. So Team Chris would move on to play Sunday in the All-Star game, oddly enough. So I'll talk about that in a little while. So that was your Friday evening, guys. Let's talk about Saturday. Saturday, you had your All-Star Saturday night. You know, you have the three events, the skills challenge, then the three-point contest, and then the slam dunk. Skills challenge, guys. Your winner ended up being Team Cavs, and that was comprised of Donovan Mitchell along with Evan Mobley. And they're actually the first team to win not being the host team of that city. So your past three winners were the host city teams. So this is the first time that's not the case, guys. And then this is the second win for Team Cavs. They also won it in 2022 when they were hosting in Cleveland. And the participants in that, Darius Garland, Jared Allen, and oh, by the way, the guy who won this Saturday, Evan Mobley. So you had a guy who knew how to play this skills contest in there. So, and plus with Donovan Mitchell, you can't lose as far as somebody being ready for that challenge. So Team Cavs win it, guys. The big story in this, what Team Spurs does coming out the gate. And I watched this. I was like, what in the world are they doing? It was comprised of Chris Paul and Victor Wembanyama. So it seemed like this was the brainchild of Chris Paul. So basically, they put an emphasis on the passing and the dribbling and all that, but not on the shooting. In fact, they kind of poo-pooed the shooting. They kind of mailed it in on the shooting as far as that goes, just to keep a low top time, because this is a timed event. So the lower your score, the better you do. So they had a really low time, but the judges talked it over and they said, yeah, they kind of cheating here. So we have to disqualify them. And it took a while for them to explain it to Chris Paul what had happened. But yeah, but you know, they didn't really take it seriously. They were just all about having a low, the time be low. So you can't do it that way. So Team Spurs gets eliminated. Then you had Team Rooks, who they did fine. They missed out. And then you had the finals between Team Cavs and Team Warriors. And that consisted of Moses Moody and Draymond Green, who had a chance to win, guys. In fact, Moses Moody, he killed his part of it. You know what? Why they lost? Draymond Green. He couldn't do a bounce pass, for crying out loud. He failed on that, and then that just killed their time. So they had a shot at winning it, guys. Your home team had a shot at it, but Draymond, he couldn't finish the deal. And I'm of the mindset that, yes, have Moses Moody, you should have had another teammate. If Jonathan Kuminga was healthy, you could have used him. You could have used anybody else, but Draymond Green. So there you have it. So they took the loss. Cavaliers got the win in the skills challenge. So there's that. Let us move on. Three-point contest. I always enjoy the three-point contest because it's a basic thing. Either you could get hot and shoot it, or you can't. Simple as that. That's as simple as this contest is. So you had the participants. You had Jalen Brunson, Damian Lillard, Cade Cunningham, Cam Johnson, Norman Powell, Buddy Hield, Darius Garland, and Tyler Hero. So in the first round, Buddy Hield absolutely kills it, guys, with a 31. Then he was followed by Darius Garland with 24, and then Tyler Hero. He's your third finalist with 19. Eliminated is Brunson, Dame. So Dame wasn't able to defend this crown for the three-point contest. Kay Cunningham is out. Also Cam Johnson and Norman Powell as well. So you have your three finalists there. And Tyler Hero with the lowest score goes first. And he kills it, guys. He hits a 24. And then he was followed by Darius Garland, who only had 19. And then Buddy Hield, who had a chance to win it, guys, couldn't seal the deal. And he fell 1 point short at 23. And oddly enough, he had all his money balls set up in the last rack. Couldn't knock him down. So Tyler Hero of the Miami Heat ends up your winner. And he is now the fourth Miami Heat player to win the three-point contest. Your other three, Glenn Rice back in 1995. Daquan Cook. Where was I? I don't know where I was. Daquan Cook of the Miami Heat wins it in 2008. And then 2 years later, James Jones, the same James Jones who's the GM over there with the Suns, that James Jones, wins it in 2011. So Tyler Hero joins those guys as Miami Heat players who won this. So that is your three-point contest, guys. And I had actually predicted too, guys, that if Dame wasn't able, I had two dark horses, Tyler Hero and Buddy Hield, being that he was the hometown guy, and almost had it be that, but Tyler Hero, one of my dark horses, wins. So there's that. Now we turn our attention to the dunk contest. You know, guys, I've been talking about it, you know, how folks are sour on it. Even today when I was watching First Take, Stephen A., he's still blaming LeBron for not participating in the slam dunk contest. And here's what I always put out there for everyone to chew on, you know, the Stephen A.'s of the world and so forth, when they say LeBron ruined it. What if LeBron, in his mind, thinks he's not a creative dunker, so he's not going to participate? What if that's the case? If that's the case, then the man doesn't want to be in it. You got some guys, and actually friend of the show, D and I, was talking about this. And he posed a very good question to me. Sean Kemp, who's never won a slam dunk contest. Would you prefer seeing Sean Kemp dunk in a dunk contest or in an actual game on somebody? And I was like, obviously in the game. He said, there you go. That's your answer right there. So, yeah, so I circle back to LeBron. If he doesn't feel he has a creative mindset to participate in a slam dunk contest, I can't blame him, and neither should you. So this whole idea that LeBron ruined the slam dunk contest because he never participated, and I've heard this is the same thing echoed by Skip Bayless as well, so I guess Stephen A. has adopted it as his own as well. If he doesn't have the creative juices for that contest, he shouldn't enter. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. So when I hear that, I'm like, really? Really? Is that what we blaming this man on? Putting this at this man's feet? We got enough to put at his feet. Now you want to blame him for the slam dunk contest? But I digress. Anyhow, let's talk about the actual contest. Of course, you know, Matt McClung, he's the G Leaguer who's won it the past 2 years. So he was up against Andre Jackson Jr., Matas Bezelis, and Stephon Castle. So, and I watched the whole thing. My guy Bezelis, I thought he was going to do something, but his first dunk, he couldn't even finish it. So he ends up with a 40, and that sunk him from there. So there's that. Andre Jackson, he did okay, but not great. Stephon Castle, on the other hand, he had a nice run here. And he ends up in the finals with Matt McClung. But in the end, when all is said and done, Matt McClung, he wins again. And actually, he has a perfect tournament here, because he gets a 50 on all four of his dunks. So there's that. And the thing with him is, he gets it on his first try. It's not him going, doing it over and over and over again. He gets it on his first try, which really, and I think that's really a key. It shouldn't be a key, but it is, I think, mentally for people when they're judging, it's a key. He makes his dunk on the first try. So that saves a lot of drama, and it also boosts up your score. So there's that. But when all is said and done, Matt McClung, he wins it again. He's a three-time straight winner. He joins the likes of Nate Robinson as three-time winners of the slam dunk contest. So much so now he's saying that this might be his last run, although Ja Morant was on Twitter and he said, you know, this got me hyped. I'm thinking about entering. We always get this from guys when they say they're thinking about entering. Even Giannis even said something about it. You know, Giannis old behind. He ain't getting in no dunk contest, so forget it. But Ja Morant, he was trying to ring up Zach LaVine and get Aaron Gordon involved again, because actually it was 10 years ago and they had that famous duel between Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine. I thought that was the one year where you could have split the award and had two winners. That's how good those guys were, but that wasn't to be. But again, the dunk contest ends up in the hands of a G Leaguer. And I'm of the mindset now, guys, you know what? Maybe it's time to retire this contest as a whole. What do you replace it with? I'll talk about that in a minute as well. So that is your Saturday night, guys. Now to Sunday in the actual game or games in this regard. And this is your 59th All-Star game. But as we know, they changed the format. They adopted the same premise as the Rising Stars. It's going to be two games, and it's going to be between the first game was between Charles Global Stars versus Kenny's Young Stars. And then your second game was Shaq's OGs versus Candace Rising Stars. So let's start with the first game. Charles Global Stars, and all of this I watched, by the way, they end up winning 41-32. Now, for the Kenny's Young Stars, no Anthony Edwards. I'll explain in a little bit. So he doesn't play in this game. So they're down a man. And Charles Global Stars, they end up winning. I mean, it was close early, but then the Global Stars started to separate. And then you had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander lead them in scoring with 12 points. For my Knicks part of this, Karl Anthony Towns, he had 6 points. He dropped 2 threes in the game. So there's that. And then for Kenny's team, you had 3 guys, Evan Mobley, Tyler Hero, and Darius Garland with 6 points. And as far as Jalen Brunson, he plays 8 minutes and has 3 points. So Kenny's Young Stars get vanquished. They're out of there. So they're done. So we move on to game two. Game two was between Shaq's OGs versus Candace's Rising Stars. Now, this was a very competitive game, guys. These Rising Stars were standing toe-to-toe with the OGs. At one time, it was tied at about 32. And the OGs, you know, pride starts to kick in, like, wait a second, these guys are not laying down to us. So they ramped it up and they end up winning 42-35. Dame Lillard, he leads the way with 9 points, including the game-winning 3-point shot that seals the victory. And then Steph has 8 points for the OGs. As far as the Rising Stars go, Dalton Connect and Ryan Dunn led them with 8 points. But this was highly competitive, guys. It reminded you of back in the olden days where in the All-Star game, they were actually D'ing up guys and, you know, keeping up with guys 94 feet, that sort of thing. So very competitive. And then we get to the final game. Oh, by the way, Shaq's OGs, no LeBron James. He did not play in this. And then your final, still no LeBron James. But you had Shaq's OGs versus Charles Global Stars. And then when all is said and done, Shaq OGs win 41-25. In a game where Shaq's Global Stars started the game 0-7 from the field, including 0-6 from three. And they were actually down 11-0. And I was like, yeah, this is kind of over. But in that game, it was very, yeah, for the most part, entertaining. You had Steph dropping these threes. He had, a 44-foot three that he dropped in this game. But Jason Tatum actually led them in scoring with 15 points. But Steph Curry, he scores 12 points and thus wins the MVP. Mind you, Jason Tatum actually won. He scored the game-winning basket. So, I mean, you could have went either way. But being that the game was in the San Francisco area, so you know there was a leaning towards the local guy getting the award. So there you have it. Steph Curry gets the award. So, and this is his second All-Star Game MVP for Steph Curry. And for the Global Stars, Wemby led the way with 11 points, followed by Karl Anthony Towns. He had 8 points. And for the Global Stars, you had two of your guards who scored no points. Donovan Mitchell, he goes 0-7 from the field and 0-4 from three. Not good. And then Trae Young, who, remember, he was a replacement for Giannis Antetokounmpo. He goes 0-3 from the field, and he took all his attempts from three and missed all of them. So guys, the Shaq OGs win, and there was a prize pool of, I believe, of $125,000, and there you go. So that is your All-Star game, guys. Now, let's address the absences here. No LeBron James for Shaq's OGs. He's dealing with a foot injury and then also an ankle injury. So, and he told this to Tim Bontemps that it's more important to avoid aggravating an injury than playing in this All-Star game. Now, here's my question. When did he realize he's not going to play in these games? Because if he knew this before he got on the plane to go to this All-Star game, I think it was incumbent upon him to say, look, I have this injury here. I'm not going to be able to go. Get somebody to replace me. Because, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, if he knew he wasn't going to play, you could have had Norman Powell take his place. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. I know Norman Powell had a fine year, but we're going to ignore a guy like Jalen Green, who's also having a very good year for the Houston Rockets, a team that's surprising everybody and is right up there amongst the top teams in the West. So I'm like, I don't know. I know Norman Powell's having this fine year, but I don't think it's a complete layup to give it to him over Jalen Green. I'm just saying. So there's that. But, and then also the second question, was this LeBron thumbing his nose at the league? And I want to, I hope we could say no to that, because think of all that LeBron got over with as far as even this year goes with his son coming into the league. The fact that they were able to manipulate the proceedings at the draft to get him drafted on the Lakers. So if he's, you know, bucking the system by not playing in this All-Star game, or maybe he didn't like the format and he's decided to sit it out, we don't know that. So, you know, in front of the media, he'll say the right things and so forth. He'll talk about his injury, how he didn't want to aggravate it and all these things. But I would hope this was not him protesting the format or just protesting the league in totality, because that wouldn't be a good look for LeBron. So I'll just put it out there as that. And then you had Anthony Edwards, who he had groin soreness for Kenny's Young Stars, and he was already dealing with soreness in his hips. So he had a groin now. So he, and what he said was, if he had a little more practice time, he might have been able to go, but and a little more time to warm up, he would have been able to go. But he sat it out. And mind you, they could have used him in that game against Charles Global Stars. They definitely could have used him. He I'm sure he's good for at least 9 or 10 points. So I'm just saying. So there's that. But even a bigger story is the comments he made when he was asked in the All-Star press conference about him being the eventual face of the league. And his response was, nah, that's what they got Wimby for. In other words, he's not really interested in being thrust as the face of the league. He even said, you know, I just want to go in there hooping, you know, kind of the same mantra as Kevin Durant. So this whole notion of people like Stephen A. Smith, I got to bring him up again, who wants Anthony Edwards to be the face of this league. He wants him to be in multiple finals. He wants all these things of him. But in Unc Shannon Sharp, he said it best. You can't want something more for somebody than what they want for themselves. If he doesn't want to be the face of the league, I'm fine with it. I'm good with it. So if that's the way he feels, that's the way he feels. Who are we to say? But you know the angle Stephen A is coming from. You know, if he's the face of the league, that means, you know, he could get him a nice bag. He can get him advertising and all these things, which he's already getting, by the way. So he's getting his already, but you know, that's always the angle with this guy. Marketing. But the man doesn't want to be what you want him to be. So who are we to say? So I applaud him for his honesty. You know, he doesn't want to be what y'all making him to be. So and right now, Wembanyama, he's got next. The way the kid's performing, he's got next. So we'll see how he does. But you know what this is too. I think a little bit of this is, how can we have this foreign player be the face of this league? I think some of that has to do with it, but I'll leave that alone for now. I'll save that for a rainy day. So there you have that. Now let's talk about your buddy and mine, Draymond Green. He, of course, you know, guys, he has his thing with TNT where, you know, he'll be on a panel and so forth. He was up there with Adam Lefko, with Vince Carter, and with Jalen Rose. Nice to see Jalen Rose and always hear his perspective on things. But Draymond, he said disparaging things about the new format. He called it ridiculous. He said Adam Lefko asked him a grade out, you know, out of 10, what does he grade it? And he says a 0. And then here's his thing. You know, he says he's worked so hard in the league to get to play on that Sunday with the All-Stars and for these rising stars to be thrust into the showcase game, that doesn't sit right with him. Draymond. What you did not mention, which is the elephant in the room, your contemporaries have forced it to come to this. If your contemporaries would play the All-Star game with some heart, with some desire, with some oomph to it, we wouldn't have this conversation. We wouldn't be going through this. But you and your contemporaries, I'll put them in there too, y'all have decided to be laissez-faire about it. Y'all decided to, you know, be lax about the game, where you had the, you know, the players of the past come in there and talk to you about the importance of playing this game. You know, if you want to, you know, coast in the first half, that's fine. Once the third quarter and then definitely the fourth quarter comes, you want to have your competitive juices flowing. But y'all not doing that. Y'all let the other team from last year, y'all let the team get all the way up to 200 points for Pete's sakes. You can't have that. The fans are not going to accept that. So your beef, Draymond, should be with the people in your locker room and in other locker rooms. That's where your beef is. Not with the league, because they're trying everything. They're trying everything to keep this product afloat as far as the All-Star game. But it's you and your players, your fellow compadres, that have messed this up. So I don't want to hear your whining about it. And then I want to play you this sound. This is Oscar Robertson when he was asked about the comments that Draymond said as far as the All-Star game goes. Give me 1 second, because this, when I heard this, I absolutely fell out of my chair hearing this. No, that's not it. Hold on 1 second. Because, I mean, come on. You gotta read the room. All right, so this is Oscar Robertson on what Draymond had to say about the All-Star game in its current form. Listen.
Draymond said so much, you know, who cares what Draymond said? This is what I mean, you know, I mean, and one guy can say this, and one guy can say that. The game is the game, is what it is. People either like the game or they don't, and I think people enjoy the game, especially if they're deep in the way. And if you look at the basketball, it might be born in, because if he's not passing the ball to Curry, what's he doing?
Great.
Single that out, because I think he knows how to play basketball, but he passes the ball to Curry more than anyone I've ever seen in basketball. And so it means a lot. So, you know, it might be boring to him at times because of what he's doing. Maybe it is boring when he's out there. He's not shooting a lot. He's not guarding a lot. So it's boring.
So that's what the big old had to say. I died laughing, but I mean, come on. Come on, Draymond. All I'm saying is talk to your peoples. Talk to your fellow players and tell them, guys, y'all got to shape this up, because otherwise we're going to lose this All-Star game, the battle as far as that goes. So you have that. And then, like I said, I watched First Take today, in fact, so on Monday. And, of course, Unk didn't like it. He talked about it on Nightcap with him and Ocho. Ocho didn't like it either. Stephen A., he had voiced his disapproval with it a while back. But Kendrick Perkins actually said that he thought they did play hard at some level, which they did in that game against the Rising Stars. Why? Because you had these young bucks pushing the OGs. So if you take that mentality and put it in a total game, then the fans will be fine with it. They'll be okay. So, you know, I think there's a way to get to this. But I think it's totally at the feet of the players, totally at their feet, that they must put the onus on playing hard in this game. But I'm not asking you to go out there and hurt yourself and get injured, but at least put some effort in, And then also, you know, a lot was made about all the breaks that was taking place. They did have a lot of breaks. I was like, whoa, when is the game happening? So you had that. And then also Kevin Hart. Enough with Kevin Hart. I understand he loves the NBA. I get it. I understand that. Heck, you can have Spike Lee in there for crying out loud, but enough with Kevin Hart. Enough with him. And you could tell the players were getting irritated by some of the stuff he was saying. In fact, he was saying something about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, say, kind of egging him on to play hard and talking about his sneakers, the mustard color or whatever color it was. And you could tell Shai Gilgeous, he wanted to lay hands on him. Like, what are you even talking about? So enough with Kevin Hart. I get it. I understand. He was a big part of the NBA celebrity game. He won all the MVPs. I don't even know how he's done that, but I digress. But enough with Kevin Hart. I'm done with Kevin Hart and All-Star Game stuff. I'm done. Let him be a spectator like everybody else. And then you had this shootout between Dame Lillard and some high school teenager for the Beast or whatever it was. And I'm like, is this what we doing? I mean, the kid sank the shot and got $100,000, but, you know, there's that. But I'm like, all these different distractions. And then, of course, you know, they had a big montage for TNT for the inside the NBA guys, because this is pretty much the last year that TNT is over the proceedings as far as the All-Star game goes. I'll be interested to see as far as next year who takes over All-Star weekend. Is it ESPN, ABC? Is it Amazon? Who is it? I don't even know. So is it NBC? I don't know. So I guess we'll find that out in the days to come. But there's that. But other than that, let's get back to the All-Star game itself and a fix for it. Now, you know, last year I had mentioned that I think you got to scrub it and go with this Rising Star model. I've said that on many occasions, and they adopted it. I didn't expect them to use the Rising Stars as part of it as well. And I think I had mentioned this too. I think the Rising Stars did have kind of an advantage going into that game with the OGs because they had played already. And then you had, this is just a side note, Amen Thompson. He was already on another team. In fact, he was on team. He was on Team Mitch, and then he ended up on Candace's team. I'm like, how in the world did that happen? But I digress. I'll leave that alone. But nonetheless, trying to figure out a fix here. Now, circling back to the Unrivaled League and what they did with the one-on-one, should the NBA adopt that, where you have a 30-player tournament, if you will? I don't know if you do 30 players. Maybe you just do the 24 who are in the All-Star game, have it between them. You could do that. Would they actually do it is another deal. And how would you do it? Would that replace the All-Star game itself, or would that be a added feature for your Saturday night? So that's a question I'm kind of going back and forth about. And then remember we had the old timers play? Remember we had that? Can we go back to that? I understand. I get it. I understand why they scrapped it, because somebody tore up their knee and tore up their ACL, and that was the end of it. But, I mean, you know, modern technology and science is better than it was back then. So can we go back to that? I think if you had that on a Saturday night, that would kind of incentivize the players to play harder on Sunday. I don't know. I'm just grasping at straws here, but that's an option. Horse, maybe you have a horse tournament between some players as well. You could do that. Maybe that's another thing to incorporate for Saturday night. Because, again, I think the slam dunk contest, I think, is dead at this point, to be honest with you. And I was talking to a friend of the show, D, about this. I'm like, we've had this for 40 years now. I think we've seen every type of dunk there is just about. So what more can you do? You're coming flying in for a dunk off a spaceship? What are we doing here? So there's that. As far as the game itself, do you go USA versus the world now that you had? And I thought when they did the drafting, I thought there was a theme going on between the way these guys were drafting. So do you actually go with that model, the US versus the world? You can get away with that and go back to an actual, well, that would be East versus West. But, yeah, do you go that route? And then if you go that route, how does the voting work? Do you have, like, separate voting for U.S. and separate voting for the world? How does that work? So, you know, you got to figure out something. I think the tournament was okay. It could have been better. It was just the one game that was really competitive, to be honest. So, and part of the first game. So they're going to have to figure some stuff out. I know they're kicking around some ideas now, but they're going to have to do something, especially now that it's changing hands. It's not going to be with TNT now. It's going to be on another network. So they're going to have to figure out some stuff quick, fast, in a hurry. So, and I do think, again, I think the Rising Stars had the advantage because they had been together. Do you expand to 32 All-Stars? This way everybody's on equal footing coming into that tournament. I think that's a consideration as well. So we'll see what happens. But yeah. So, all right. So that is it. I thank you for listening as always. All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. There, episodes, shorts, donate button. All my donate buttons are there just about. Spotify, Buy Me a Coffee, PayPal. So you support this show, guys. Support the content I'm bringing to you. Much appreciated. Also, my Cash App. It's in the scroll, guys, $GD, that sports dude. Again, that's $GD, that sports dude. Write to the show. My email is in the scroll as well, guys. That's sportsdudegd@gmail.com. Again, That's sportsdudegd at gmail.com. Email the show. I can read your email right here live on the show. So that'd be great. Also, guys, podcast platforms, I'm on all of them. Apple, leave reviews and so forth. YouTube, I'm there as well, guys. I drop my episode links on LinkedIn. Blue Sky also, I put it on there also. So there you have that. And as far as socials, IG, TikTok, Blue Sky, not so much Facebook, definitely no Twitter, and man baits. Fan base. It is what it is. Excuse me. All right, guys. Thank you for listening as always. That must be telling me I got to end. So thank you for listening as always. And we'll talk soon, guys. Take care.